paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Hello, everybody. John Cass, your mild-mannered columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Jeff Carlin, the ace producer of WGN's Rokan show with Anna DeVellantis. I've got some sad news today, and many of you who've been following the column know that I am the proud possessor of one of the most amazing portraits ever made by Western man, a portrait of Mayor Rahm Emanuel as his idol Al Pacino in The Godfather, and it's called The Rahm Father. And there's Rahm posing like Al Pacino, you know, Michael Corleone, and there's some cryptic stuff on the, you know, written like John Cass Productions. I think there's some reference to Jimmy DeLeo as an associate producer. And all the, and several of the aldermen are mentioned. What happened was years ago, I get a message sent to me in a fish. It was a bass, a smallmouth bass, actually, a stuffed one. And inside the stuffed bass was a note. If you want to know more, we should meet. Something like that. And of course, I had to know more because the note on the other side of it was a cut from a portrait that looked like Rahm Emanuel. So I took my bodyguards with me. Angie Leventis, who we called a great reporter for the Tribune. We call her Shooter in the column then. And Scott Stannis. And we met at Shaw's Crab House. And there was a fellow named Eric Brightfield. Very funny guy, an advertiser, creative man. And he lived in Oak Park. He had created this portrait, and it was there on an easel. And I thought, oh, my. He goes, no, this is for you. And I bought lunch. I don't think I charged a Tribune. I bought lunch for everyone at Shaw's. And I got the Rahm Father. And then a few weeks later, the mayor, I think it was mayor then or just before, he'd come past my office. In those days, I had a glass-walled office of, like, the bear at the Tribune editorial board. People would stop by and look at the bear. And and he looked at it, and he wanted it, and he begged me for it. And I said, I'm not going to give it to you. Go away. Go away, mayor. But I did call Eric, and he said, of course, we'll make another one for the mayor. We went to present it to him on Christmas Eve of a couple years ago. He loved it. Eric brought his son, and it was just so much fun. It was really a lot of fun because the media critic in town, one of them at the Free Weekly, read by old hippies, accused me of being bought, currying favor, and then therefore being like sort of a meat puppet for Rahm Emanuel, which I don't think really is. I don't think he would even the mayor would say that.
He would laugh at that.
He would laugh. He would scoff at such foolish
guffaw even.
And there was a brass plate that I put on the Rahm Father portrait for the mayor. And we put it on the frame engraved, and it was in Greek. And Rahm never asked me what it was. And finally, about a month ago, I was in his office, and he said, you know, he was showing me again the portrait. It's still here. It's awesome. He loved it. Of course he loved it. It's cool.
Yeah.
And he said, what does this mean? And I said, you know, it's taken you three bleeping years to ask me what this means. Now you ask. He goes, yeah, what does it mean? I said, it means beware of Greeks bearing gifts. So anyway, that's the story of the Rahm Father. And Eric loved it. And he just loved the whole thing. He didn't like glom onto the attention of it, but he loved creating it. And he was very funny when he met the mayor, and the mayor was And I just was amazed at his mind and his quickness, his wit. So the sad news is that Eric Brightfield, in his late 50s, passed away suddenly in his sleep the other night. And there'll be a, by the time you hear this, I'll have already gone to the wake. Maybe I'll write a column. I think I just owe him one, like a hat tip. And I just thought I would tell you guys this because this is part, you know, you come to the Chicago Way. I don't speak as formally here as I do, I think, as I write in the column. Give you an idea what's going on in my mind, in Jeff Carlin's mind, our guest's mind. But today I'm a little down, Jeff, because a very good man has passed, and too young. Mr. Brightfield and your family and everyone, Zoisa Sass, and may your memory be eternal. And now with us is Pat Brady, former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party, a very funny and well-met fellow, great lawyer, and also a partner in the
Next Generation Strategies. Thank you.
Which is a group that is in the intersection between politics and government.
Did you read our website?
Is that what it says?
Something like that.
For a fee,
we'll stay in that intersection.
Let it be said that I'm not paying Pat Brady one dime, although I did buy him lunch at Valari like a year ago.
Full disclosure.
Which is not, that's not enough for you, Pat Brady.
I like that restaurant, though.
It is good, isn't it? Peppers and sausage, glass of Valpolicella, and the dark chocolate sorbet. Yeah.
I think that's what you had. It's good.
That's what I had. So, okay, before we get into the ridiculing Pat Brady part, which is would be
why
fun.
Why don't we start with that?
No. Let's get to the other thing, which is what is best in life? To have a falcon on your wrist, to ride free on your horse on the steppe, to vanquish your enemies and hear the lamentations of their women, or watch the liberal meltdown? I think the liberal meltdown is even better than being a adjunct character in a Conan the Barbarian movie. What do you say?
The liberal meltdown has been something to see. I'm a big basketball fan. The only thing I can analogize this to is in 2005, my Arizona Wildcats were up 14 on Illinois in the NCAA with 2 minutes to go. And they were talking about our national championship year.
Oh, yeah.
And 1 minute later, it was over.
That is
and we
brilliant.
Were out the door, and Illinois went on to the Final Four that year. And that's how I felt about this election. Republicans were dead as of 5:30 Tuesday night. And, whoa, we got the House, the Senate, the presidency, 2/3 of the state houses, and 33 governorships.
What isn't really understood clearly is the, except for Illinois, which is a special case, because there's an evil overlord.
But we had a good night in Illinois, too.
Yeah, they did. And I have a hat tip to Rauner, hat tip to
Durkin.
Durkin. Big,
Redonio. Oh.
Big for Durkin, for Christine
Redonio, yeah.
And also guys who helped a certain radio host on another station and others like this who were involved, right?
Yeah. And
got to give them credit.
But to look at this, in a presidential year, as you know, we have a gale force headwind as Republicans trying to win. It's impossible to win. And
especially when you're fighting against that win.
Yeah. Well, people like me anyway. But they picked up Annette 4 in the big race, the McAuliffe race here in the city that Speaker Madigan put, that was his number one race. They pulled out a week before. So in a year like that, if we can do it in 2018, when we probably, the voter turnout's different, mm-hmm. we could have a pretty good year. You know, we're only six or seven votes away from the speaker being gone. So it was a big night.
Note on that. Did we talk about that McAuliffe race, Jeff, last week? I don't think so.
I don't think, we might have, Christian was here, we were talking
Christian
about
it. Christian was here, but I want to bring up something. I was at a restaurant the other day, I missed the
the post-Rom Love Fest?
The Bill Curtis and Rom Oil Wrestling extravaganza. And I was with some guys, Westsiders, okay? Westside guys, friends of mine that I know. And we were out at Zia's, which is on Northwest Highway, really good, had the lamb shanks, awesome. And there were, but of course, it's in, I almost said Roger McAuliffe, Mike McAuliffe, his son,
yeah.
That's the district.
Yep.
And amazing thing I learned. A week before the election, or right before the Democrats realized they weren't going to win this thing, they started sending out pamphlets to the direct mail thanking McAuliffe, the Republican, for his support for all the Hispanic elected officials. That was one of the, you know what I mean? And supporting Mexico, and I think there was a Mexican flag on it. Thank you, McAuliffe, for your support. I just thought that was so, and they told me something about Madigan. You could be their friend, you know, his friend, but if you come up, if there's something, and he's McAuliffe's, the family have been Republicans, right? They worked with Madigan for years. They wanted to get rid of this kid. And something happened. This is where the combine comes in, Pat Brady. All of a sudden, they had everything going. Madigan sends all his captains.
A lot of money.
All his captains and all Southwest side captains. So that means Burke's guys and everybody else guys came up to work the election. But then came one of my favorite political figures. I'm going to give him credit for this, even though he probably didn't have anything to do with it. Jimmy, how you doing, DeLeo? Because what happened was the mayor of Rosemont, the Republican bastion that it is, came and endorsed McAuliffe, and then they all came together.
It's a great country.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. It was an amazing
night.
It's
the Chicago way, baby.
Hey, it works for us, and Mike is there. Remember last time he did that to knock Saviano out. He came after Skip Saviano with everything.
And that Skip's now what?
He's the mayor of
Melrose Park?
Melrose Park.
And that's what happens when you tell jokes. But we're not going to get into what jokes are told. Okay.
Yes, I know a joke you're referring to.
Yes, indeed. All right, so back on the Democratic meltdown.
Speaker Madigan won an Emmy during that campaign.
Oh, in that movie?
No, just in the campaign. He was on. He was on from 6 to 9 every morning.
He was.
I don't know. What's the category he would have won?
I don't know.
Supporting or lead or I don't know.
Best lead in the propaganda?
He was just, And the fact is that people, Pat Brady, so you know, was one of the first Republicans, first chairman I can ever remember, first a Republican official I can ever remember to take on Mike Madigan, formally and publicly. And you did it with the
Fire Madigan.
Brady humor.
Yes, Fire Madigan. And the interesting thing about that is we were in a different world in 2010, 2012. We didn't have the resources. But
you just had me, man.
Well, you did. We had people that understood that they hate the leadership. Those folks do not like being known. They hate it. And our theory was, we're not going to beat him on all these races, but we want people to know who he is and how Springfield works. So that's when we started Fire Madigan. And still, one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life, I'm sitting on my couch at home, and I get a call at 7 in the morning, and my wife, late wife Julie, goes, "Hey, John Cass is on the phone." I go, "Uh-oh." That's never good. But Madigan puts up a fake candidate every year.
Oh, that's where I was out there. Right.
And we're going to throw a fundraiser for him, a fake Republican. So if we didn't know the guy, I go, "Well, this is part of our exposure theory. We're going to have a fundraiser for him."
So that the guy would lose. He's just a setup lose. So.
But we raised $3,000. Went to English. So John Cass goes out and interviews him. And the people were salt of the earth people, his parents.
Firemen.
Fire neighbor, just great people. But the people that were involved before were covering up for him. It's like, "Oh, he's a great guy. Oh, I knew he was running."
The father sits. I see the father, and I call Pat right before I walk up the stairs.
It's like 10 to 7.
It's a bungalow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I knew he was a fireman, so I better get there earlier. He comes out on his porch in a bathrobe, and the mom comes out. And they're like, "Oh, John Cass, we love your column." I'm like, "Hey, what's up?" I'm like, what's with your son? And the father's like, what? What's with my son? I'm like, he's running for Madigan.
He's I won't
like,
say really? His name, but he's a good Irish name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good kid.
Good kid.
And I'm sure he's now, what is he, like superintendent of the Department of Electricity?
I'm sure he got a raise. Somebody ran into him later on, but he went into hiding as soon as that column came out. And then we did the fundraiser. And had a ton of media. Actually, the BBC was there.
Oh, yeah.
The guy from England goes, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. You guys are out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a parliament where they yell and scream at each other.
That's freedom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so except
we raised $3,000.
And except for Madigan here and the blue state of Illinois, which I think people are really just enthralled. I think they're just enthralled.
It's a blue county, really.
It's just a blue city, okay, with blue brothers-in-law working on the state payroll. But the national scene is getting, again, I feel like rolling over in bed and having a smoke because it is just so fun. It is like release. It is like to watch Barbara Boxer.
Oh, my God. You see that?
Okay.
She's not running again, right?
But here's what she's doing. She's come up with a bill to abolish the Electoral College. And because why? Let's change the concept, which she doesn't even, I don't think, is she a lawyer or just some nobody?
She's just an idiot.
She doesn't, you need a constitutional amendment to do that, right?
It's in the Constitution.
Yeah. Last time I checked. Or you had to elect Hillary so she could put in a judge who doesn't care about the Constitution.
Right, or you could do it state by state.
Yeah, you need 172 votes, or 170 votes worth, or 270 votes worth of states to make it work.
But the whining that this, the screaming and all this stuff that Boxer represents in this context is about what? That they lost the vote, they lost the election, so now we're going to change the rules?
Yeah, and I was obviously very critical of our nominee, and I didn't like it when he questioned the integrity of the process.
Yes.
And the minute they lose, they're questioning the integrity of the Electoral College. Now, the Electoral College debate is not new. There's been a committee for years looking at this. But now, Barbara Boxer, that's her big issue as she fades into the sunset.
Let's say that Jeff is a lamb.
Uh-oh.
Not that you are because you're a husky Blackhawk fan with a beard. But let's just picture Jeff as a lamb. You won't have trouble picturing Pat Brady and I as wolves. Okay? Because
mm-hmm.
we are kind of wolfish, even though I'm like a fat bull, like a Greek wolf. But you know what I mean, in my mind. So the two lambs, or the two wolves and the lamb, it's like almost noon, and they're hungry. So they decide, let's vote on lunch. What are we going to have for lunch?
Jeff, looks good.
There's two of us, one of you, Jeff. And the lamb's like, hey, wait a minute, guys. But too bad. That's the Barbara Boxer way. That's the Democratic Party way. That's majority rules without thinking of the minority. And the minority, in Jeff's case, I know check your white privilege because you're white. Actually, a gingerish, even worse.
Translucent.
But that whole thing about the no minority rights, getting rid of that and letting the coasts, basically, the populated coasts, decide who the president would be, showed me how ridiculous Trump was when he said it, and how ridiculous the Democrats are in supporting it. Because what would the result of that be?
Civil war.
It would be. It would be. The pitchforks would come out just because the people would be completely disenfranchised.
You would obviate the states. Instead, we have a talk about safety pins. Jeff, explain it.
Safety pins?
Yeah, what's with the safety pins, Jeff?
Well, if I'm wearing a safety pin, that's how I let people know that I voted for Trump or I didn't vote for Trump. And if I'm going to be accosted or molested, people need to know. They need to know they can come after me for my choice in president.
So if you vote for a safety pin, that means you're opposed to Trump, right?
Right.
Okay, so that means you're usually a millennial. You wear salmon-colored pants. You ride a bike on Ogden Avenue.
You didn't vote.
You didn't vote. And it's a safety pin, Pat Brady. The safety pin. Do they get the irony and the stupidity of their symbol?
I don't think they do. But the leadership in the Democratic Party is encouraging this. They should continue to do it, which to me is irresponsible.
What does that mean? What are they doing?
I think they means that they've so lost their way here. The leaders of the party now are a 74-year-old socialist and Elizabeth Warren, who spends most of her day yelling about capitalism.
Right.
So I mean, that's
worth several million
dollars.
Yeah,
and got all kinds of... She was attacking everybody for taking Wall Street speaking fees, which she took.
Right.
But it's okay if she did. I was listening to her this morning. I'm like, wow, she likes to yell at you a lot.
That's just like
everything's
the last
a yell.
One.
Yell,
Hillary,
yell, yell.
Too.
When Hillary
doesn't work, huh?
When they announced
work, madam.
They were together, it was like getting yelled at in stereo. Just stop it. I don't need to get yelled at. But the point is, that's the leadership of the Democratic Party right now, and they're really struggling because they lost what we had lost after 1980. They lost the working class vote in the Midwest and Upper Midwest. That was a devastating night for them.
It seems to me...
She didn't even campaign in Wisconsin, though. She never stepped foot in Wisconsin. I don't know what they were thinking.
She sent to Obama.
Yeah, but Obama's policies, even though he's at 57% right now, are what fueled the Tea Party movement. It was Rick Santelli.
Mm-hmm.
Santelli
she started it with Hillary with her own health care.
Well, that started it. But then I remember it was the payoff everybody's mortgage. You're like, wait a minute, no one's paying my mortgage off. I think, too, more important than the Comey letters, which she's still complaining about, was the fact that the Obamacare rates came out that week. That, to me, was more important than anything, because it was like in 2008 when everybody's investment sheets came out. They got them in the mail for the quarter, and they'd gotten killed in the crash. That was the end of McCain. I think the same thing happened this time. People that had Obamacare, people like me whose rates have doubled, I lost my primary care doctor.
Okay.
You're furious, just absolutely furious.
If we could get back, that's a good point, and I think you're right. I think that it's always local, right?
Yeah. You get your thing. I had friends that really do not like Trump, but they got their Obamacare or their rates went up. They go, this is ridiculous. We can't do this anymore.
If Trump is smart, he won't, I think, won't change Obamacare until more people get stung by the premiums. The more pain is out there, the easier it will be to change. Because he won't get the fair treatment from the media. Let's just admit that. It's just not going to happen. And I want to get back to the...
But he could amend it like what the Republicans wanted to do anyway. Pre-existing conditions, portability, and your kids can stay on forever. Those things that we wanted to do. But it had to be... There was not one Republican that voted for Obamacare. And the two biggest lies of Obamacare were you can keep your doctor and it's going to decrease the cost, which have gone up exponentially since it's been enacted.
I asked Jeff to call Jonathan Gruber to come in for an interview. But, you know, we have to remember Jonathan Gruber, the architect of Obamacare.
As long as Zeke Emanuel.
And Zeke Emanuel said
they just need more money.
American people are stupid.
Oh, yeah,
Gruber
said that. Yep.
And they'll just go, they won't even know what we're doing to them.
Well,
but they do when they pay for it, right?
Yes, ultimately. When you get your bill or it affects you. That's why even in Illinois, the crisis of the state, which is in crisis, hasn't quite affected everybody yet, but it's getting close.
The Illinois Policy Institute came up with some info that the taxpayers who are leaving, the taxpayers who are coming in, the new ones, are making or spending a great amount of money less in taxes than the people who are leaving. Ultimately, we're past the tipping point. Madigan's holding on. I don't know what'll happen there.
Well, a lot of stuff happened in the last 24 hours with the labor relations.
With AFSCME,
that's a big deal.
Well, Rauner appointed his guys on the board.
But it's still 3-2. I think it was 3-2.
They're going to go to the courts, right? They'll go to the Madigan courts to stop it.
That's another story.
That's another deal, right?
Yeah.
And we just have to keep fighting. But I want to get back to the safety pin thing for this reason. Yes, the Democrats can't handle it, and there are many who are crying like babies in the media. Many pundits are trying to do the Jon Stewart thing, and maybe they should all have British accents and talk like fools. But whatever it is, they're in disarray. So I think that the mistake is in looking at the safety pin or the children's crusade or whatever, the crying game, whatever they're doing, as a reaction against Trump. I think what it is a reaction among the Democrats for the hard left to put down a marker. Organize these kids now while their emotions are up. put them in the pen where, you know, herd them, because that's what all politics is, really.
Right. Yep. Herding cats.
Herding cats. And put a marker down so that the party leans farther to the left, because the left is the ones, are the ones who are organizing all this stuff.
But the country, I don't even think the state is that far left. So they can organize that far left all they want, but electorally, I don't think you succeed that way. These kids half the time don't come out to vote anyway. So if that's their strategy, I'm all for it.
Don't you see, though, isn't that their symbolic issue? Isn't
that what they're doing? Then you can have the symbolism. I'm talking about winning. And if Trump can actually grab some of that vote that he did, Wisconsin, Michigan, that we had lost historically in the last couple elections.
Pennsylvania.
We've been talking about winning Pennsylvania since 88, and we always lose it. And we won it this time, which is just unbelievable. We held the Senate. Toomey won. I mean, some races that Ron Johnson won, races we never thought we were going to win 4 or 5 weeks ago. I hope the people in Washington listen. I'm not saying you should listen to everything Trump says, but there's a message that's been sent, and let's grab it. It's a great opportunity for him and for us.
Already, there's a anytime there's a revolution, and that's what we basically saw. I think we saw a revolution.
That was a revolution.
Not only against the Democrats, but against the establishment Republicans.
Against the media, against everybody.
Yep. And you know what? When you mock people, and here's a word of
basket
of caution,
of deplorables.
Not only to the Democratic Party with the tittering, it's not really the deplorables as much as the simpering laughter that came afterward.
Yes, but we talked about this a couple shows ago. First of all, who talks that way? I don't even know what deplorable means. A basket of deplorables.
It's so precious.
That's a party I'd leave immediately.
Precious. You know? Right.
Is that a Hamptons party?
I don't know if it's Hamptons.
And Brie?
It's not even Brie. Brie can be like really good, tough, you know, musky Brie.
Not in my house. maybe where you
should get the French kind. But, right, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Cheese man that you are.
But look at the commercials that Trump did as opposed to her. I watched the commercials like, wow, these very simple message, the flag, make America great again. And you're like, well, you know, reminds me of 1980 a little bit.
Also,
I'm not saying I agree with him because I was very critical of him, but, you know, it's a pretty good message.
Now we have Rance Priebus.
Rance's a good friend.
Good friend?
Yep, and a good man.
And also Orthodox. I knew this for a long time, I think through you.
Yep.
Or through Rance himself, but I didn't say anything.
We had him on, I think.
We haven't had him on. We should have. We
had him on, though, in previous life.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. With you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. We had him on a couple times. We used to have him on all the time over there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, in our previous life.
Yeah, we had different call letters.
Right, Jeff?
It's okay. You can say them.
I can say them now.
Right by Mr. Donut.
And so he, Mr. Donut. So he's the chief of staff. That's good. That gives the establishment something.
Reince is also a consensus builder. I was on the Republican National Committee with him. We were the ones that got Steele elected and got Steele out and got Reince elected. And I watched him work with a very, in a lot of respects, out of touch committee and a lot of different opinions. And he managed it perfectly.
Okay. So he's going to manage this now. And chiefs of staff are hired to be fired. We all know this, right? So he's got 2 years, let's say.
Did you see the CNN show?
What's going on with Sessions?
From what I gather, and who knows if the media has it right. I mean, obviously, he's a guy with a lot of influence. He announced Trump at the convention.
No, he
he was the only one.
The first big name, responsible name to come to Trump. But of course, anybody who comes to Trump is a racist now and a scumbag. That's how it has to be with the media.
Yeah, that Banyan pick, I don't know why they led with that, but I think Reince balances it out. His kid too.
He's like the white Jordan, right? Isn't he? Like the Van Jones, whatever his name is.
That's the comparison I made. Everybody comes out with a stupid pick, and Van Jones
more stupid, but they come out. The part about politics is addition, and there are while Obama plays the milk toast, he's got his surrogates out there cutting throats, not literally, but politically, and that's part of the game.
Love or hate Van Jones, he's a pretty effective communicator.
The white lash thing? White lash.
Oh, man.
This election, I don't see the election as white lash. I'm sorry. Is that because I just became white when I was 10
years old? There must have been a lot of racists in 2008 because a lot of those folks that voted Tuesday night also voted for Barack Obama in 2008, 2012.
Jeff, you know that I became white when I was 10?
No, I didn't hear that.
I was not white before then.
I've been a hillbilly my whole life.
There you go. Yeah.
I know what a pitchfork is, Jeff.
When Gore said that he plowed with mules,
When he sowed cotton or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and then the next election it was he's talking. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're.
So, Jeff, you know, I know that you're not like a Cleveland Indians fan.
What?
With the Cubs celebrating type of thing.
Oh.
But you are definitely, let's put it this way, a centrist in your views. Mm. I'm a conservative in my views. Mr. Brady is a responsible center-right guy. So we have all the different, we don't have a screaming, drooling communist here, but outside of that, we're pretty well represented.
I'm sure we can find one in the building.
Oh, there's not, definitely.
Not here today.
Yeah, and they're all my friends.
There are a couple floors
they
dedicated.
Love yeah. They love me today. They love me every day. So, Jeff, what's the next step? What's going to happen here? What do you see?
I don't even. I mean, with Trump in the White House, I don't know what to expect. I expect the Democratic Party to completely implode on itself and have an uprising that moves even further left. When my generation and younger start realizing that if they want change, they needed to stop marching in the streets and they need to start running for office and voting. And when that happens, which is probably be 10, 15 years from now.
Yeah, when everyone's paying mortgages
right.
Like all of us did.
Exactly.
Right.
I think you'll see it, things will kind of swing back the other way, you know, from what they are now.
Maybe not.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. And I don't like it any more than you men.
One thing we know for sure, Jeff.
Robots?
You were robots is another issue. But right now, you are responsible, in part, Jeff Carlin.
What?
To watching a Democratic stalwart inch closer to the left by ridiculing Trump, by holding a propaganda exercise in which he was loved by all the radio stations in town.
Ah.
You were part of it, so ooh.
Not part. Not
oh,
part.
Oh, come on! You're
no,
working
no.
in the media.
Not,
you're
no
in the
part.
Media. What are we talking about, Jeff Carlin?
We are talking about Chicago's first ever mayoral radio town hall hosted on every radio station in Chicago, which is 40 plus stations, which consisted of 30 minutes of Bill Curtis tossing soft underhand tossing questions to Rahm Emanuel that were posed by people online.
Somebody quoted him in a column. I was just flying into Chicago the other day and I saw 44 buildings being built, the largest building boom in the history of the world, and the Cubs have won. What do you say to that, Mr. Mayor?
It was
the beginning.
Exactly.
Right?
It was something.
It was bad. Just so you know, Brady's shaking his head.
He doesn't have to shake his head. We can just hear it. I mean, it's everybody should be shaking their head. It was something that was, for whatever reason, came to be between the discussions between the Illinois Broadcasters Association and the mayor's office that this would be a good idea for helping Chicago overcome its problems in a kumbaya moment. And I, being the producer of a drive time show, happened to have to work around that.
Yeah, no. I didn't say your response. I was just teasing.
No, you said,
okay?
I know. But I will say that it was the majority of the calls I received while it was going on were abrasive and slanderous towards communists, which I guess I get because everyone was calling it propaganda. And this is the worst thing I've seen since communism. Mm-hmm. And it was. I mean, it was 30 minutes of just awfulness. I mean, just stupid. There were questions were not very good. It was not good at all. There was
no
rebuttal.
Because Rahm selected the questions
right.
He was going to be asked. Pat Brady, to you, sir, would you advise a client to do such a thing? Or would that be, if we do this, we're going to get mocked to death?
I guess my answer would be, I'm not sure, it depends on the situation, but I'm just surprised at, from the beginning of this administration, how politically tone deaf he is, from the first strike to the Laquan McDonald video to me is disqualifying on many levels.
Now, he insists to me personally that I did not suppress the video. I said,
it doesn't matter.
Your office did, or your administration did, the lawyers did, Steve Patton did, whoever.
And that kid was executed on the streets when you were mayor. And this to me, this thing that happened the other night to me is just politically tone deaf, that you would think that this is a good idea and that people are going to, are people that stupid? Maybe we are in a basket and we're all deplorable. And maybe they just don't think we're very smart, but you don't have to be very smart to pick up that that's propaganda. You listen to it, it makes you sick.
And I
love Bill Curtis. I don't get why he would play ball with that, but I guess he did.
Yeah, I don't know why, and I didn't. I just said, look, I had to call him. I like him too, but yeah. I had to call it the way I see it. Yeah. It was I don't want to say Marilyn Mansoning yourself, but it was pretty bad. It was bad.
Well, I think, too, he knows that he needs a rehab tour, and he's going to run again, but there are people lining up all over to run against him.
But I listed those in a column. I don't see Kurt Summers, the city treasurer, going because the same money guy, Sachs, is the money guy for both of them.
But,
so he's not going to do it unless Rahm doesn't go.
That's
and now that Hillary is lost, there's no escape route.
Right, exactly.
You have from the sort of kind of right, but not really, is the Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart. But then he comes out today. He's got a problem in Mount Greenwood with the white black issue over the cop shooting of a
Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter.
Of a black guy who pulled a gun out and waved it and he got shot, and now it's a big protest.
Second time he'd done
that. It doesn't help Dart. It doesn't help politics from that end.
In interest of full disclosure, Tom's one of my best friends.
I like Tom.
I do too. I think he gave a speech to a women's event a couple of weeks ago, and it was very well delivered, real thoughtful on issues that I think this election revealed are important to people. And I'm not talking goo-goo left stuff, but we need to consider some things in this criminal justice system.
Well, he came out with the deal to abolish bail.
Yeah, you've been down that courthouse, and you know how bail works, and it is a crapshoot from beginning to end.
I mean, you can't deny that the judicial system in this state, in this county specifically, is slanted and does no favors for the poor and minorities because they happen to make up a big portion of
that. Guess what? If you beat the hell out of somebody or shoot somebody down the street, you're going to go to jail.
Sure.
And if you don't have the bail, that's what bail's about, keeping you in.
Sure.
So I don't see the politics of letting the same
the
time.
Thing, here's the thing. Here's my. And I disagree, I think, and I agree with you. You do stuff, you go
dangerous
to jail.
People.
Dangerous people go to jail. But there is a difference. And I remember 25 years ago when I was a state's attorney, virtually every crime in some way, shape, or form is related to drugs.
Right.
I was hyped up or whiskey. Well, drugs are with some kind of. Yeah. I was hyped up. I needed money. Everything is related to drugs. And if the problem with the low level drug offenders, they're recidivists, they're messed up, that they if there's a way to stop that at the front end, you stop a lot of it at the back end because it's all drug related.
I agree.
Everything's drug related.
I'd say, you know what, you're a habitual drug user, here's a pile. Here's a 10-foot pile of cocaine. Go enjoy yourself. Here's a room. We'll lock it up and enjoy yourself. And that's it. And we won't see you again. I mean, there's nothing, you cannot fix the broken toy.
No.
Not that.
Midnight Express?
Turkish prison.
Prison. That was
my
you're
DNA,
a broken toy.
My
you're
DNA doesn't go there. My Greek DNA doesn't like that. But I did like 300, by the way. It's a different kind of movie.
But Dart,
so
and
does
then
it
Curtin-
hurt Dart to be against bail? Because people aren't going to look at the fine point. They're going to say Dart wants bail removed, right?
I think in the city where he's going to run, and the people that he needs to convince that he's the guy, I think it helps him tremendously.
It shows compassion. This is the compassion card that he's
playing. The combination of what you need to win, the certain precincts you need to win, and that appeals to both of them greatly. And he has a great reputation as being a thoughtful guy, a good guy, a decent guy. So I think these issues, I had a couple of calls from people saying, hey, they don't really understand the issue. Like you said, some people do. But it's just more of, hey, there's got to be a better way than we've been doing the last 40 years.
From the left, it looks like Rahm is moving to the left, you know, fighting the sanctuary city fight, right?
Yeah.
But even though, Rahm is for the same thing Trump is for and the same thing I am for, which is if you're here illegally, or can I even say that anymore? If you're undocumentedly here and you commit crimes, you shouldn't be here. Is that wrong of me to say?
I don't understand for the life of me, and I get the politics of it, but I don't understand it in my brain, how you can stand up and say, we're just going to violate federal law because we decided we're going to. Because why? Because you're king. And they do that in the big cities. All the big city, there's a guy in New York, De Blasio.
De Blasio.
And the guy, Newsom, and they just stand up and say, we're just not going to follow law. You know what? I'm not paying my taxes this year. I don't feel like doing it. You know that parking ticket? I'm not paying it.
Or they tell you, you know what? Your daughter's going to be in the same restroom with a 6 foot tall guy who thinks he's a woman.
And he just decided right before he walked in.
And if you don't like it, you know, we're just going to stop funding your school.
Yeah.
I mean, we do that, don't we? So, and the media has no problem with that.
Those kinds of issues, the bathroom issue for whatever, and I get there both sides right. of it. And I've been out front on some issues related to gay marriage that I'm proud I did.
Yes, you are.
But the point is, so I'm not some barbarian on this stuff, but that one to me was a reason why Trump won.
Yes,
I go to San Diego Airport. There's a bathroom floor, and I go, well, you know, if the line's long, I'm going to change my gender because I have to go.
Right.
But I don't, you know, I do. I have daughters, and there is a certain, I think the point is they crossed the line on that one, and it really irritated people. Like with Obamacare, it was just a bridge too far on a lot of this left stuff.
It's not, Pat, that I don't think it is that people want to be objectionable or disagreeable. No. I think, and really it's not. You know, you can solve it by having just individual water closets and just call them water closets.
Right, yeah.
But, like the Europeans do.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you have to have an attendant.
And calling it a water closet.
But it's the attitude. It's the combination of a liberally dominated media that mocks everybody for a fool who doesn't agree and tries to shame them, and the federal hammer coming down on you. And this is America. People don't like that.
You know where this started? With the beer summit when the police officer, the decorated Boston police officer, goes in, an African-American professor friend of Obama's who was being a complete jerk.
Right.
He goes and arrests
him. How dare you?
How dare you? Blah, 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 blah. And then Obama calls the cops stupid or behaving badly.
Right.
And with this arrogance kind of nose in the air stuff. Right. And then they do a beer summit. Like we're all idiots that we have something to learn from a police officer, a decorated police officer, just doing his job with some arrogant Harvard professor. That's the kind of stuff that I think really motivates
the middle of the country.
It irritates. Like, beer something to tell me what? Well, this guy was a jerk and the cop was doing the right thing?
Well, I've got a way to motivate the rest of the country. Can we do this like in a kumbaya moment? Okay. Who should Obama pardon before he goes? Because he should have something in his legacy.
You can't. They won't. No. Not Rod.
That was a joke.
Oh,
why not Rod? What is Rod's great sin?
Rod's great sin.
He didn't make any money. The Clintons made $200 million selling influence in this government.
But they had houses to pay for, John.
They did. You can call it what you want. It's influence.
Maybe he will, but the fact, and this is like we've talked about before, he used to do this for a living. To me, the foundation and that was all one big fat RICO.
Totally RICO.
And just the server was just one of the acts in furtherance of the conspiracy.
Yes.
I don't want you seeing this stuff. And this is how we're going to do it. I could do the opening statement right now.
Give it to us.
I got to write it out.
But I mean,
the whole thing is
general.
this was just set up as an enterprise for the Clintons to make money, leveraging their relationships within the government, including the Secretary of State's office with state-supported countries that support terrorism or whomever,
and
just enrich
some
themselves.
That want uranium deals.
Whatever, but this
while Hillary's ripping on Trump for being friends with Putin.
It's the biggest. Right? It's the biggest setup. They were then in the Obama administration, to their credit, said this can't happen. You got to really watch this. And they had Uma on both payrolls. Both payrolls. Never. She's on State Department and the foundation payroll.
May I quote you on that? Since you're already on tape anyway.
What's the quote?
No, just what you just said about the RICO.
I think it's. By the way, I've said that on Cochran Show. I just think it's a big fat RICO. So I hope to God.
That's Steve Cochran, WGN mornings.
That's right.
That he doesn't, because, and part of the anger too, I think, with people, I'm not pretending to have the pulse of everyone, but all the Wall Street stuff that happened, nobody went to prison. Nobody went to prison for what happened in 2008. Our economy almost blows up and nobody goes to prison. And this is with the Democrats that were going to come. These are the ones that put Dodd-Frank in and said this was going to stop all this. Well, it didn't, but then nobody went to prison.
So then should Obama not pardon Hillary Clinton? Can he pardon her before the fact?
Well, I guess he could for anything. If there's I assume there's still a current investigation, and I've always thought it was the foundation, not the emails. I don't know what the legalities are. I guess he could just pardon her for everything related to that, but there'd probably have to be an ongoing grand jury investigation to pin it down.
And I think the American people need a full examination of what the hell happened, even down to the meeting between Loretta Lynch. Oh. Sorry, you're not going to be a Supreme Court Justice, Loretta, and Bill Clinton, which he's under investigation. He is. And she meets with him. You get fired as a prosecutor. You not only get fired, you're drummed out.
It's a half hour on a plane sitting on a tarmac, and they said they talked about their kids. Unless you have 40 kids apiece, you're done in about 3 minutes. And I've got kids, and that, you know, it takes you about 10 seconds
fine,
before
good,
somebody quits
looking
away.
Where are they going to college?
But the combination of all that, the UMA, the email server, the meeting with the – and Loretta Lynch has a great reputation from the Eastern District of being just a very fair broker.
And worked with Comey.
And worked with Comey. Right. And so does Comey. But to me, it stinks. And if he wants to pardon her, you know what happened when Gerald Ford did it, and I think rightfully with Nixon, there was big blowback. Because then again, it's the whole thing that people were angry about before is special treatment for the rich and everybody else. Too bad. If that's you, you're not getting pardoned.
What do you say, Jeff? I agree.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So what should Trump pardon her if he comes in?
I don't think she should be pardoned because the whole reason for him winning is people are fed up with special treatment, and she gets special treatment. Why? It's not like she's a former president like Nixon was, where it's going to unify the country. She's a candidate that lost. It's not going to be anything. If it's in the greater interest of the country to do it, do it.
If we're on the verge of civil war because we did away with the Electoral College, and that might help.
Seriously,
maybe.
Seriously, on the Electoral College. I've heard libertarians talk about getting rid of it, which, you know, when I hear that, I want to say, you don't deserve to have the Constitution in your pocket anymore if you do that.
There's a serious problem. There's some serious money behind, and this has been going on for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And I got invited to be part of it, and I was going to go because it was a boondoggle to St. Thomas, but I never made it.
Right. You know what they say on the beach, smoke. Anyway, go on.
But I agree with you. But pardoning her, man.
What about pardoning Blago?
No, Rod should sit there.
What is Rod's real sin is that he basically threatened to embarrass the president of the United States.
Rod's real sin is he used the office of the governor as his personal piggy bank to...
Where's the money, though?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's still, the way he abused that office, the damage he did to the state. And to me, the bigger thing is you throw a 14-and-a-half-year sentence, which is upheld by every court. It opens the door for other judges to launch these guys when they get caught. No more 6 months at... It would Burger King camp in Wisconsin. If you do this stuff, you're going to jail for 14 years.
Well, the one who launched these guys preemptively is the court in Virginia.
Yeah.
The court in Virginia for saying, hey, you know what, Governor, you took all these gifts, but that's okay. No problem. Right?
Yeah.
And that was the deal. Once that happened, you talk to any investigator, and I'm sure that Mr. Brady still has his contacts in law enforcement community, as do I. A lot of investigators were saying, we're screwed now, because now you've got to go to the U.S. Attorney's office and show them some moron giving another guy an envelope and saying, can I count it? How many dead presidents do I have here? And that's not how the deal works.
No, and the thing is, they did go a little bit overboard, I think, the prosecutors on some of this, on this intangible services. And it started here, I believe, with
theft of honest services former governor by Jim Thompson.
Right. It started here, originated here. That's that whole statute, which is a mail and wire fraud, which is supposed to be for mail and wire fraud, but ended up being for public corruption. So I think there's a balance, but I have no sympathy for Rod. Keep him there. Send the message. And any of these guys, they do the same thing. And if there is more, you know, the guidelines are out. So if there is money changing hands, that's 10 years. Because, you know, it's our money. It's our state. It's our country.
And I agree that, you know, look, he's dead meat. Chris Kelly's dead. There's a lot of pain with his arrogance, particularly his stupidity in having Dick Mell take him around the city to different guys. And then Rod thinking stupidly that the landfill business is something he can screw with, which means he's not smart enough to be governor.
I can tell where you're going with this.
Right?
I'm taking you to Villari.
Yeah.
And I'm going to beat you in the head until you get back where you should be.
I'll tell you the Villari story at another time. I got a good one to tell you guys. In the meantime, let's not have a revolution. Children, don't use safety pins because that really mocks your self-mocking. You know, it really safety pins. You want to have a revolution, use a real pin, not a safety pin. What baby? It's diapers. Use that for diapers.
Give this guy a chance to govern. I didn't like him either, but he's president in it. You can't root against the country.
If former Senator Webb becomes the Secretary of Defense from the Democratic side.
My favorite.
Huge.
Huge.
If,
he kicked Mike Rogers.
Huge.
Huge. Oh,
he
yeah.
kicked Mike
huge.
Rogers out, though, which I think is a huge mistake. The former House Intelligence Committee guy from Michigan, former FBI agent from Chicago, probably one of the smartest guys.
He lost out in the, there's like Kellyanne Conway, The Breitbart guy and Rants are fighting this out right
Webb
now.
Is, I've been following him. And if you know quickly the story, he was a Reagan administration official. You know how he got hired? He was on a radio talk show in San Francisco. And some of the Reagan administration people early on heard him talking about Jane Fonda. And they go, oh, Jane Fonda is here. And he's a Vietnam guy and a real smart guy and a tough guy. He goes, I wouldn't walk across the street to spit on Jane Fonda. He then became a Reagan deputy.
And he's a Democrat.
He was a Republican. Right. He's a Democrat, but he's a deep-thinking guy.
Yeah, straight shooter.
And
one who won't. And one thing I'm glad about the neocons going over to Hillary, I hope they don't come back. Because a guy who was in combat, which I never was, is a guy who's not going to be eager to go on adventures.
I think he was against Iraq spoke
eloquently about it.
He was Virginia senator. If you read, he's a deep thinker, and I was thought he might challenge Hillary in Iowa because he was just the opposite of her.
Although John Cass does not have a cabinet position, but I do have a column. Pat Brady does not have a cabinet position, but he is on
Next Generation
Strategies. I always wanted to say New Horizons. Why do I want to say that?
Well, maybe we should change
Next
your name.
Next Generation Strategies. Jeff Carlin is still the executive producer of the Rokan show in the afternoon with Anna DeVellantis. And I want everybody to have a great holiday and a great week.
You hanging around? Is everybody coming home?
The boys are home. Betty's home. Well, she'll be home teaching. You know, she won't be teaching during that week. We're going to brine the turkey. Brine your turkey, everybody. And don't call me to expect me to write another damn turkey brine.
Do you remember when we were at the other
Enough
place, they
the
put me man on the street doing the Thanksgiving parade, and I walked around asking everybody if they knew what brining meant. all Thanksgiving morning.
You know, Senator McCaskill last year or 2 years ago said, shut up, man. So she stood up and she said, man, shut your mouth about brining. Shut up. I was like, shut up, Senator.
I'm going to sit in the hot tub and drink beer at my brother's house till the sheriff shows up. It's usually about 4:30.
Cue the banjos.
All right. See you later, guys. See ya. Bye.